Welcome to Why Your Story Podcast. It is a beautiful spring day. I am your host, Travis Osmond.
I am your host, Mary Jo Parker.
And we're excited to be with you today. Are we?
Yes, we are very excited. So glad. Except I don't think it's very springy outside.
No, it's not springy. The winter just won't go away.
It won't.
You know, we keep getting hints of spring, and we can see bare ground every now and again, you know, but it just is not warming up.
Yeah. We're not sure when you'll hear this, but April 24th, 2023... And it's gray, and there's snow on the ground, and I don't see any tulips.
It is just, I don't see any flowers, period.
Oh, no. Just dirt and mud and snow.
And depression. Well, I was talking to one of the doctors the other day, and he was saying that this something about March 1st, he's had people just coming in and say, I can't. I just can't do it anymore.
Really?
They're giving
That's
out.
That's okay, though.
Serotonin reuptake inhibitors like crazy. Everybody needs some feel good pills right now.
Yes, or to go someplace with sunshine and beaches.
Yeah, but you can't afford that anymore.
That's true.
Gas is still $5, and hotel rooms are still outrageous. And I don't know.
Yeah.
What do you do?
Well,
I guess you can go to St. George. I mean,
yeah, you've got a place to stay at least.
I do. Not anymore.
Oh, why?
My folks are on their mission.
I know, but can't you stay at
their house? My brother's
living
there.
Oh.
Yeah.
Justin?
Shane.
Yep. Well, just bust in and visit him.
And yeah. Use their
That's a big place.
Restroom and
barbecue.
Sit in the hot tub. But yeah, it just seems like it's been a long spring this year.
Yeah, it's been a long spring.
I'm a little worried that the fact that all my guys are going to show up for work and we're not going to have any weeds to go get. it bothers me just a little bit.
Yeah.
I mean, I've had early springs, but I've never had one this late for sure.
Yeah. I was talking to our guest today, and he said that his dad told him that they'd be in the fields by April 15th. Well, not this year.
I've had, so at the grower meeting where we do for all the farmers, you know, in the valley,
yes.
And I had several of them tell me, oh, we'll be tilling the ground by May 1st.
Oh.
And they're not going to this year.
No.
They pull out in the field, they're going to sink those tractors this year. So
yeah.
Anyway, la-di-da.
Yeah, la-di-da. Yeah. Everything's good with you?
Yeah, everything's great. You?
Yeah. Oh, guess what I had for lunch today?
What?
I have not had one of these for a long time, and it just brought me back to happy days. I had a bologna sandwich.
Oh, my God.
I love bologna, and I just never buy it. With Miracle Whip.
Oh, my.
Swiss cheese.
If you were to ask me what I don't want for lunch, it would be a bologna sandwich and Miracle
so
Whip.
It was so yummy. Yummy in my tummy.
You know what they make bologna out of.
I don't want to know. But that is not the point.
We need to look up the history of bologna.
We could.
We really need to. We need to do a podcast on the history of bologna. Because I want to know who the guy was. Maybe it's his name.
Yeah.
That thought about, you know, no cutting bologna. The lips off the chickens and the tails off the pigs and grinding them all together and putting it on a sandwich. That ought to be interesting.
Yummy.
Yummy.
What'd you have for lunch?
I haven't had lunch yet.
Oh, okay.
Nope. One of these days I'm going to have lunch.
Okay.
So
yeah,
I'm excited about it.
I can tell.
But I know I won't be having a bologna Miracle Whip.
I was going to offer one to you.
No.
I'd run it down to you.
Please don't. Anyway, so tell us about our guest today, MJ.
We have one of my favorite people in Star Valley. If I was like to do a top 10 list of favorite people, this gentleman would be on it. It's very true. We have Blair Hillstead.
Wonderful. Blair Hillstead in the
That's
house.
That's right. So, I'm used to calling him Bishop, but
so
we'll
MJ,
go with his name.
So, MJ, real quick before we talk to Blair, why would he be on your top 10?
Just because I like his voice. I like his personality. I like his countenance.
His countenance.
Yes.
I love it.
I do.
I love it.
His countenance.
So for the listeners that are listening to this podcast in Europe, how would you explain countenance?
You know, like your your spirit.
The vibe.
The
vibe you get, the spirit you feel. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Good enough.
Yeah.
I love it.
His smile. Yeah. I like all that. And I don't know. He's just a cool cat.
Awesome. Well, welcome, Blair.
Thank you very much. I'm really happy to be here. It's good to listen to you guys. And Mary Jo, thank you very much.
You're welcome.
So I'm assuming that this podcast is going to be, we're talking about agriculture. Is that what we're doing, like then and now type thing?
Yeah, I thought that would be a great topic.
Because
Blair, it's changed.
Blair's got one of those family last names that's been around for a long time here
for
in the Valley.
For a long time, yes.
Yes, that is correct. We've been in the Valley for a long time.
Wow.
Give us a little history, Blair, about your early family. When did you first get here, the Hillsteads?
Well, my grandpa Hillstead probably moved here in the early 1900s, you mm-hmm. know, around then, and they lived right there in Fairview. He had a big family. My father was the youngest boy, the baby of the family. His mother passed away when he was 2 years old.
Aww.
So he was raised by his dad and oldest sister at that time.
Okay.
Wow.
Where did your grandpa move from?
You know, I was hoping you wouldn't ask that question because I'm not.
It wasn't California, I hope.
No, it was not California.
That would have been the first of the move-ins, probably. Yeah.
I think he came from the Utah areas where he got, but I'm not sure before that where he came.
And he was a farmer?
Yes, he was a farmer.
What kind?
He was a dirt farmer, you know, and moved up here with his family, and they homesteaded a number of acres on the west side of the valley, southwest, and I now own the 160 acres that my Grandma Hillstead homesteaded in
that's
her
wonderful.
Name.
Wow.
That's so neat.
That's cool.
It is. It's a beautiful piece of property up on the west side. It's got some trees on it, you know, and we as a family just love to go there and kind of get away a little bit.
Yeah.
Wonderful.
And so then your father was also, he was a farmer as well.
Yes.
Your grandfather and your father.
Yes.
And what kind of farming did your father do?
He was a dairyman.
Okay.
My father grew up milking cows and had a little bit of acreage to start with, and he formed about 40 acres and increased that a little bit over the years as he had a chance to, mm-hmm. and we produced milked 15, 20 head of cows to start with and probably got up to 30 or 40 head by the time that he gave that up. And then my brother and myself, Rick and I, we took over Dad's dairy.
Wow. And how many, and so you did dairy as well?
Yes.
And how many did you have to milk?
Rick and I built that up to 100 head.
Wow.
We went in and kind of increased the facility a little bit, and we milked 100 head of cows at one time.
So is that like by hand or with machines?
Well, in Dad's time, it was all by hand.
Wow.
Wow.
Yeah, and my dad was He was initiator on a lot of things, and we had a large family. There were eight of us, so 20 cows wasn't too many for eight of us.
Wow.
The girls as well as the boys shared in that responsibility.
Wow.
And we milked them by hand until the milking machines came out. And then Dad was one of the first ones to start with the milking machines in the valley. And that's when he moved up probably to about 30 to 40 head of cows.
Holy cow.
And what time frame would that have been when you got your first milking machine, would you guess?
Well, that would have probably been about in the 1960s.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wow. Have you ever milked a cow, Travis?
I watched my wife.
Oh,
she grew up milking a cow by hand.
It is hard.
Oh, man.
It is not easy. Yeah. It's not just a little squeeze, squeeze. It's a squeeze, pull.
I milked a goat once for an ag class at Utah State one time, but I have never milked a cow by hand. And I don't think I could. I don't think I have the muscles to do a full cow.
Yeah. And don't you, you do it twice a day, right?
Twice a day, yes.
That's amazing.
Yeah. That's amazing.
So was your dad able to make a living off of 15, 20 cows back
then?
Or what, did he have another job with it?
To start with, Dad did not have another job, and Mother was right there working with him. And so, yes, we made a living. We always had food on the table, and we always thought we were just as wealthy as anybody else in the community.
That's great.
But we never had a lot to spend, but we didn't know we were supposed to have a lot to spend. And we got along really fine.
Yeah.
Yeah, we were happy and content. We had our saddle ponies, and we could cut a stick to go fishing up Spring Creek. And we'd go up there with a little bit of fishing line on our ponies and fish for a half a day and enjoy that. And everything was good. Yeah. We were very content with the way we grew up.
Yeah, that's wonderful.
Yeah, it is. That's neat.
And when did you meet and marry your wife, Lynette?
She and I went to high school together at Store Valley High School. She was 1 year younger than I was. She was a cheerleader, and I was a athlete, if I can use that lightly. But but I love sports, and in my era of time of going to high school, we were blessed with a real good group of kids. And we did really well in football and basketball.
Okay.
And at that time, those were about the only two sports that were offered. And we look at today, what's offered, we can go to soccer and volleyball and wrestling and others as well. And this year, we have the girls' wrestling team who took first in the 4A state. So,
that's crazy.
Yeah. Store Valley has always been well known for their strength in athletics.
It's from milking those cows.
Yeah. It is.
You're right. Yeah.
I think it's milking cows, but I think there's also a lot of discipline, too.
I think so, too.
I think that being on a dairy teaches you. I think it teaches you sacrifice.
Yes.
And I also think it teaches you discipline. Not just hard work discipline, but, you know, if those cows don't get milk, you don't eat.
Yeah.
And they lose production.
How true, Travis. That's exactly right.
Yeah.
You grow up knowing that you have some responsibility and other people depend on you to carry through with that and do your part to be successful. And I think that's what the people of Store Valley have had.
Yeah. You know, I think of the dairyman that I know. So my grandpa was raised here in Star Valley on a dairy. And I look at the dairyman that I've worked with over the years, not only in agriculture, but just professionally, you know. I don't think I have ever met a dairyman that just did not demand respect from, you know, just the, what do you call it, their countenance?
Yes.
You know, they just good people, because I feel like they know that they depend on the cows and they depend on a little bit of the Lord's help, you know, for a living, and they just are good, solid people.
Right.
Yeah,
right.
Very good, humble, solid people, because they know they can't do it alone, you know.
Yes.
Yeah.
The weather and other things have a big factor in the success of a farmer.
That's true. Yeah. That's so true, especially in this valley.
Would your dad or your grandpa, I mean, would he go out, would he cut grain? Would he buy the grain? Because raising a dairy, you need carbohydrates for that milk, you know, and 40 acres isn't a whole lot of ground. So tell me a little bit what he'd do to do that.
Well, my dad, my grandpa was older
in
my younger years that I can remember. So I know that my grandpa had land and he did that as well. But my father, what we would do was most of it was just barley and alfalfa. Those mm-hmm. are the two crops that we could grow in this short season mm-hmm. of Star Valley, and that was what we grew up on. And I know that we bought hay at times, but Dad tried to keep his herd about to what he could produce to take care of them.
Awesome.
And so we would feed the alfalfa, and then we would feed them grain. The cows wow. always got okay. barley, rolled barley to sustain what they needed to be able to produce.
Awesome. Yeah. What kind of cows?
Holstein cows.
Holsteins.
The good old hardy Holstein.
Awesome. That is awesome.
And then there was a change. First I want to back up. How big was your graduating class?
80 students.
Oh, wow.
Yes.
That's not very many.
That's not.
No.
No.
Back in then, and I graduated in 1960, and we were probably under 400 students in the Star Valley High School at that time.
Holy cow.
And we were a class three at that time.
Hmm.
And so, yes, we graduated about 80 to 90 students.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
Wow.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
And so then the 1980s came, and milk took a dive, correct?
Correct.
And why is that? Why did it? You know, what happened?
You know, and that's a good question. And I don't know. You always think it has to be of supply and demand. And in Star Valley, everybody that lived in Star Valley back in those, excuse me, early years, had 10 or 15, 20 head of cows. And that's what everybody did for a living.
Yeah.
And then regulations started to come in on the dairy, and we had to meet state and federal regulations.
Mm-hmm.
We could no longer cool our milk in the ditch that yep. happened to run to the side of us, or in the water trough and whatnot, with a number of other things. And many of the farmers at that time, the dairymen, they got out of it.
Okay.
And the guys that didn't and could still maintain, they built up and milked a few more animals.
Okay. Interesting.
Yeah. And like you say, Mary Jo, the price would fluctuate so much, you'd think you were going to do pretty good, and then it would drop. You know, and it would be good for a month or two, and then it would be poor for 10 months.
Wow.
And just could not maintain a good living. And so people got out and started looking for other things to do and other jobs and whatnot. And that's how the dairy system in Star Valley kind of evolved, from everybody having milk cows to then just a number of bigger dairies. Like my brother and I, we built up to 100. And there were some in the valley that had more than that.
Wow.
And then we all could ship our milk right to Star Valley Cheese, the big creamery company in Thane, well known.
Yeah.
No better cheese burger anywhere in the world, you know.
Yep, that's true.
And whatnot. And then as milk prices dropped, and people started to get out, the creamery was having a hard time making it. And so then they went out of business as well. And then the freight became a real problem.
Sure. So then what did you decide to do?
Well, that's when Rick and I decided to get out. Rick was tired of it. I was teaching school at the time.
What did you teach?
I taught math and PE.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah, when we had the high school right here in Afton, we had the junior high and the high school right across the road from each other.
Hmm.
Then they built a new junior high down kind of northwest of Afton, and I had the choice of either staying at the high school or going to the new junior high, and I went to the new junior high and taught PE for the remainder of my years.
Hmm. Okay.
Yeah, and
you were also the basketball coach, right?
Yes. Yeah, I never was the head basketball coach, but I was into coaching with everything, football and basketball, and I got a track team started, and we ran track for a number of years, and you know how that the track program yeah. is now with sure. Coach Draney.
Yeah.
Excellent. Yes. Yeah.
So how many siblings were in your family? You mentioned you and Rick.
Yes. There were eight of us all together, four boys and four girls.
Wow.
Yeah.
And how many of you are still here in the valley?
Well, there's Rick and I that are the only two that are remaining in the valley now.
Okay.
And I've had a brother that's passed away that did live in the valley and a sister that lived in the valley.
Okay. Well, sorry to hear that, but Rick's doing racehorses or something that, yeah. that he plays
chariot.
With, isn't he? Chariot racing.
Yeah, he does, and he has the flat race as well. He's into the horse racing and doing really well with that.
Good for him.
Yeah, I'll say. He and his son Adam, and they enjoy that, and it's working out good for him.
That's great. So yeah. I heard somebody told me to ask you how you got the nickname Rabbit.
Well, when you handed me those questions the other day and you had that on it, I thought, how in the heck did she find that out?
I have my ways.
Rabbit, this ought to be a good story.
Oh, you know, and I never did mind that name too much, except when the kids into school would start to use it sarcastically. Then,
yes.
Then they were in trouble. And, you know, back then, and I'm sure you guys have got nicknames as well, but I don't know, some characteristic or some behavior or something that we did would just pop something into someone's mind, remind them of something, and they called us that, and it stuck. And I would like to think probably that I could run pretty fast.
Okay.
And I was pretty quick, and so I got the name of Rabbit.
See, I yes, was thinking we, it was we'll your bus driving. That.
That's what I was thinking.
I thought it was your bus driving skills. Oh, my
yeah.
goodness. Oh,
yeah.
That's great.
I love it.
Yeah.
So what kinds of things would you say that you learned growing up in Star Valley?
Oh, my gosh. You know, and I'm not sure that all of these things have been the best, even though they've been good. I am a work alcoholic.
Okay.
I will admit that. I'm a kind of a perfectionist. I want to have things like I want it and want it to look nice.
Mm-hmm.
And my dad was a lot like that. My dad taught me the philosophy, if it's worth doing, it's worth doing well.
Mm-hmm.
And I grew up with that, and I grew up wanting to work and wanting to make things nice and look good. And this is probably one of my big things right now in my life at this age, is that not that I have to do a lot of work, but I like to work to make things look nice.
Yeah.
I don't want things to get run down.
Mm-hmm.
A dairy that is no longer in use can get run down and just kind of go to waste.
Sure.
And look like a trash hole. And I've never wanted that.
Yeah.
And so one of the things that I would say, Travis, would be that I learned the art of how to work and want to make things looking good.
What's something now that you didn't have way back then that you really appreciate now that's kind of changed your life for the better?
I would say that as I look back when I first started into the forming and whatnot, the thing that was maybe the most unpleasant was the early spring and cold weather, when you'd have to be out there plowing the fields.
Sure.
And sitting on an open tractor and around and around the field you would go.
Yeah.
That was very unpleasant.
Sure.
But now with the modern equipment that we have, We have the air conditioning. We have the heaters. We have the radio. And I could go out at night and be very content just on my, in my tractor with the heater on, being comfortable, and going around and around the field.
Yeah. Anybody who's never lived out in the country, I mean, I love that sound at night when you can hear people out on their tractors and you've got your windows open for a cool breeze and you can just hear it. It's just a soothing sound. I don't know. I bet it's relaxing too as you're doing it.
That's very true. And with the cab on tractors now, you don't hear all that loud noise right there, but you do hear the soothing music and music, and the noise of the tractor that gets through there is comfortable.
Yeah.
It just relaxes you.
Yeah. Well, and I will say you have a beautiful home and land, and it is pristine. And there is a difference when you drive by a place that just piles up and piles up stuff.
Yes.
You know? I don't know. You do. You have a wonderful, beautiful farm. And what do you do now? Do you raise a few cattle?
Yes. At this particular point in my life, as Rick and I got out of the dairying, Rick went to the racehorses and kept that going for him and is enjoying that very much. And I had gotten into a little beef cattle before I gave up the dairy, and I kept that going and calved cows out for a little while, and then that was more than I wanted to do.
Mm-hmm.
So I sold the cows and I started buying young steers in the fall of the year, and then I would feed them through the winter on the crop that I would grow, and then put them out on pasture and sell them in the fall as yearlings.
Okay.
Yeah, and now as years go on and I get with less ambition, what I do is I buy my cattle in the spring of the year and just pasture them out and sell them in the fall of the year. So I don't have to fight the harsh winters and everything.
Yeah. It's fun on the back of my land when the cows are out there on that road, and it's just a fun time. I like it when you bring them in. How many head do you have?
I generally try to get around 70 head of cattle now.
Oh, wow. That's still quite a few.
That is
quite a few.
Yeah, that's a truckload, and the truckers, when they haul them out, they like to have a full load. So that's the number that I shoot at.
That's awesome.
But there's nothing prettier than you would go up on a nice evening and the sun's going down and get up on the hill there where my pasture is and the cattle will start walking towards you and you see them on that green grass.
Yeah.
They're just that serene feeling, you know, that, hey, this is wonderful.
Yeah.
This is why I do it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That's wonderful. Well, Travis has seemed to have left us.
I hope he didn't get bored with our discussion here.
No, he said he had to go to the restroom, and that's all. I'm going to leave it at that.
Yeah.
Apparently, he'll be back soon.
Yeah, I'll say.
Well, thank you so much. Is there anything else that you'd like to... one thing I would like to know, in all the years that you drove bus... several years, right, that you drove the high school. That's one thing I don't think people understand that live in, you know, big cities, because, you know, it's not a big deal to go to another high school. But here it is, because you are going at least 6 hours in many places.
Well, many places, yes, I'll say.
Yeah.
We live in Wyoming, where the schools are spread out a lot geographically. You're doing a lot of traveling with your athletics.
And did you ever have, like, I mean, I'm sure you had scary times because we get so much snow.
Yes.
But did you ever have an incident or some incidents that you can recall that, you know, you let Jesus take the wheel?
Seriously.
Oh, Travis is back.
Yeah. You know, I've had some of those experiences, just like if we were driving a car or whatnot, you know, that, yes, you get out going across Wyoming and the wind's blowing and it's snowing. You can't see very far in front of you.
Sure.
And I remember one of those experiences that We left Store Valley here, and it was storming, but not too bad. But we got out to Kemmer, and we were on our way to this particular trip into Laramie.
Okay.
I had the drama with me, and I know that because the young drama leader just had a baby, and had a baby, and it was maybe 4 or 5 months old.
Oh, wow.
And she had taken that with her.
Oh, boy.
And we were going out through Kemmer, just under the underpass there, and I couldn't see the road.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. And I'm going very slow, but all of a sudden, coming right towards me was another truck.
Oh,
and
no.
We were coming right towards each other.
Oh, wow.
We were going slow enough that we could turn and get out around, but we had no idea until he was right on us.
Oh, my gosh.
And I thought, oh, dear.
Yeah.
And there's that little baby in here, you know, and sure. whatnot. What could happen? So, yes, we did have those experiences that were scary, and we tried to use good judgment, you know. And when you're away coming back, then everybody wants to get home. But sometimes we go out when we shouldn't go out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and we need to be careful about that.
I agree. Always say a prayer.
And I think that living in Star Valley, you know, I don't think people really can appreciate driving in bad conditions until you live here.
Right, yeah. Exactly right.
Man, you take your life in your own hands sometimes.
You do.
You certainly do, don't you?
You do.
Yeah.
Yeah. You drive down the road on a spring day like this, and the snow flies, and you get 3 or 4 inches of slush on the road.
Yep, yep.
How dangerous that is.
It is.
Yeah, we just all need to be careful.
For sure.
Then when you add to that the responsibility of someone else's child and whatnot, it makes you a little more accountable.
Yeah.
Well, good deal.
Yes, for sure.
Well, Blair, we appreciate you coming in. Sorry I had to run out there for a second.
No, that's fine. Mary, you and I just carried on and had a great time.
Nature called all of a sudden. So.
We all have those experiences.
Oh,
that's wonderful.
That's awesome. Well, thank you so much. I learned so much.
I did too. It's always, I think that's my favorite thing about doing the podcast.
Me too.
Is getting to talk to people like yourself and getting that rich heritage that Star Valley has out there to our readers.
Yes.
I think that's my favorite thing about the podcast.
Yeah. So. And your story, it's wonderful.
Yeah. Well, thank you.
As is your countenance.
Yes. Your countenance is beautiful, Blair.
I've got to go and look at my countenance now.
It's beautiful.
You don't want to look at Travis's.
Thank you for all you do, Blair.
Oh, thank you, Travis.
You
thank
bet.
You,
so much.
Guys. Thanks for the opportunity to be here today.
Thank you to our sponsors, Star Valley Health. Thanks for all you do.
Eco Life.
Thank you. We appreciate you guys.
SBI.
SBI Media, who's
thank you.
Beautiful broadcasting house we steal every time we come in here. So
yeah, thank you so much. Thank you.
Grateful for all you do. Take care. This is Why Your Story podcast. I am your host, Travis Osmond.
I am your host, Mary Jo Parker.
Take care.
Have a great day.